Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Scott Kobler. He is a partner at McCarter & English and perhaps the foremost healthcare M&A attorney in the state. Scott, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. I wanted to start, and there's a lot, obviously, that we can talk about. I wanted to start, though, with the question of hospital mergers. As you and I'm sure our viewers are aware, there was a wave of consolidation that resulted in the creation of several really large systems in the state. And then the antitrust regulators stepped in and then blocked Hackensack Meridian Health's acquisition of Englewood and RWJ Barnabas's acquisition of St. Peter's. In New Brunswick, I guess the question then is hospital M&A finished in New Jersey, or is there a possibility that we could see it pick up again?
Well, I think we can and will see it pick up again.
Okay.
I think that if you were to look at the two largest systems in the state, you would be toggling somewhere around the $6-8 billion a year in revenues.
Okay.
Depending upon circumstances. And when you look at the large mega systems across the country and the fact that many of those are cross-border, and we've had cross-border, mm-hmm. But we've had it on a smaller scale. So when you look to our sides and you see Pennsylvania and New York and you see $20 billion systems, I think that arguably is the wave of the future. There have been, I don't want to say attempts, but there have been programs in the past for cross-border purchasing savings. There's no reason because the state has already had cross-border mergers. And in fact, we can talk about it, but there was one cross-border merger that was that I worked on as well that was that is no longer that, where we had to tease out the former New Jersey system, which is now operating as a robust system again on its own.
Okay.
And Jeff, if to those who don't know, the germ of the FTC's proposition is, and there are really two things that I look at, is one is, what is the area of competition?
Right.
And in both of those cases, where the FTC stepped in to oppose, in the Englewood case, it was viewed to be Bergen County.
Right.
And with some disclosure, we do work for Englewood, and we do some work for Hackensack Meridian. In the RWJ St. Peter's case, it was viewed to be Middlesex County. And those who are sophisticated purchasers of healthcare services in the state will know that they don't stop at the county line.
Exactly right.
And the FTC's charge is really attacking anti-competitive behavior. As the anti-competitive police seemed to be focusing on. And we learned a bit out of the Einstein Jeff case in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. of it through the lens of the commercial payer. And if you were to read the briefs, one of which was filed by our firm, the briefs filed by everyone from the NAACP to the NJHA in the Englewood case, you would see that there is a attempt to try to focus more on delivery of quality care, which mm-hmm. is really what a health system is to do.
Right.
And I, doing a lot of financing work, view it not only from that perspective of how can we build centers of excellence in the state? How can we do them economically? But how can we also build debt capacity for New Jersey to have robust systems? And we have several who are rated quite well, to be able to access the best technology, the best medical information systems, electronic health records, so that New Jerseyans have absolutely the best available to them at reasonable prices.
Okay.
Well, reasonable prices relative to the delivery of healthcare. there right. can people could take issue with my comment on reasonableness.
Okay. So is it a matter of persuading the FTC that that's possible within the state, or is this real? Are you really talking about the cross border mergers that you mentioned at the top?
I really don't know. At some point, the FTC has looked for I don't want to call it guidance, but some suggestion about how to deal with healthcare. Okay. Remember, there are rulings that have related to the creation of ACOs,
right?
Trying to create circumstances where normally competitive entities would wind up joining forces to try to create, you know, savings. You know, very, very virtuous things. And what always strikes me, and I look at it through the lens of doing this for four decades, is that invariably health systems will compete against one another. You hear it on the radio, you see it on billboards, you get the flyers, you get the magazines in the mail. They're trying to attract you. They're trying to attract physicians to recognize that you're going to get something where you feel like you've gotten excellent clinical care and you've been respected. And remember, you and I both know, I don't know that we consider it to be anything other than annoying, but that the moment that you leave anybody who's patient oriented, you're getting an email that says, tell me, you know, what your opinion is of your interface with an organization. And you know, Press Ganey, Leapfrog, all those reports are arguably seized upon to say, this is the best place to come.
Right. Okay. Now, with regard to cross-border mergers and creation as you suggested, a $20 billion system, that would seem to mean basically the largest systems in the state. Those being Hackensack and, right. and RWJ Barnabas, maybe Atlantic, if you wanted to put them in there. Would they be buyers in that situation, or would they be targets?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, I'm not, you know, I think that, you know, they are among our clients. I would suspect that the line always in our industry is, you know, everybody takes a call from everybody else. You know, this is an interesting state, Jeff, as you well right. know. It's an amazing home rule state.
Right.
Home rule applies to our schools. Home rule applies to our cops. Home rule, you know, everybody says, well, why can't we merge our municipalities? Happened very, very infrequently.
Right, right.
And so when you think about the delivery of healthcare, it has gone from, when I started in the early 80s, from a state of north of, you know, I would call them 100 health systems, cities that would have three separate hospitals that were there historically. So I don't know who will be, my point to answering your question is who would be the dominant force. But even within larger systems, there are disparate locations, and there is, you know, where is capital going? Where is the focus going? Where, if you're referred, are you going? You know, are you going within that system? Are you going outside of that system? And let's not forget that hospitals, you know, we're talking about competition among the hospitals, but often an extraordinarily learned and soon to be retiring CEO of a major health system has often said the competition comes from the local CVS and Walgreens.
Right.
It comes from, you know, large organizations like Summit. Yeah. It comes from the ambulatory care or ambulatory surgery center or the urgy center that's set up at the foot of the street where the hospital is. And so it's not merely, I mean, I look at it as this kind of holistic view that healthcare is delivered through home healthcare. It's you know, during COVID, a lot of things were done through telehealth, which is here to stay.
Right.
So you can see that it's you know, we shouldn't zero in necessarily on the health systems. I just think that there is this historic view of competition where most of us in New Jersey would look at whether they would stop at a county border in deciding whether they were going to get healthcare is not necessarily being first in mind.
Okay. Well, yeah, and you mentioned Summit Health, which has been acquisitive of its on its own, especially acquiring WebMD, CityMD, and the, right. those chain of urgent care centers, and has become a major force in the state. Which brings me to this question. That is, I spoke with Bob Garrett, CEO of Hackensack Meridian, not long after the Englewood deal was blocked. And I asked him the same question I asked you, is this the end of healthcare M&A? And he was a little bit, he hedged a little bit, said he thought it might still be a tool that he could use, that not only Hackensack, but other hospital systems could use, but that they were also using, looking at other things, other structures short of a full merger, partnerships, sure. alliances, affiliations, things like that. And that they were looking, the way Summit was looking, at physician practices and specialty practices. Is that going to be more prevalent in the near term, at least, do you think, of those kinds of acquisitions?
A matter of public record, but Atlantic Health affiliated with CentraState,
right.
Through a co-member agreement. And that could have been what Bob was referring to as well, which is basically the Attorney General's office when an M&A, particularly in the nonprofit side, looks at, and certainly in the nonprofit side under a statute called CHAPA, looks at the issue of the preservation and the shepherding of the nonprofit assets. Is it a wise choice? What is the price that was obtained? And bluntly, you know, another perspective is, well, what are the other qualities that are brought to bear, including the capacity to be able to grow as part of a larger system,
right.
with debt capacity, with clinical expertise, bringing in really first rate, with outcomes that are second to none. And Jeff, seeing this as a purchaser of medical or health services in the state over decades, you know, this was a state where, you know, you can get excellent quality of care everywhere. You get excellent right. quality of care in every corner of the state. There was always this orientation towards major teaching hospitals in large cities that happened to be sitting next to New Jersey. That's not the case anymore.
Right.
And I think that we don't give our healthcare executives and our boards of trustees enough credit for making this a state where you can conveniently get excellent healthcare right here. And that, to me, seems to be a problematic with the FTC's issues. I will volunteer that we were counsel to Trinitas, which became part of RWJBH,
right.
which almost immediately led to there were clinical relationships before, but now you're part of a system that, you know, is involved with Rutgers, is involved with the Cancer Institute of New Jersey, which brings we all, as the 9.3 million residents of this state, should have access to the best.
Right. Okay. So given that, then, are there other areas, other sectors where you can see some acquisition activity anywhere in the healthcare industry at this point?
Well,
in the
state? think about all the turnover in the subacute space. I think the subacute space, which could be considered the third rail of conversation, we were involved in the unwinding of the Woodland facility in Sussex okay. County, mm-hmm. Which has been depopulated, and where AHS is the clinical partner of the receiver, did an outstanding right. job because CMS had cut off the funding there, and there was really bluntly a compelling argument to move in mm-hmm. that direction. But I think when you in your question, the thinking is, we're all getting older. This is a graying population. We have to be mindful of the of where we want to go as additional dementia cases increase, as with congregate care facilities where people want to live in their homes as long as they can, but to transfer into Access. I've done almost all of the financings of the nonprofit systems in the state, and skilled nursing and subacute care And people may look at the price tags, and they will look at the price tags and say that they're expensive. But when you think about the delivery having to have Medicaid beds available for people as they age, and acute care isn't necessarily the right setting from both an expense and a delivery perspective,
right.
That's, to me, something that requires address. And of course, this is a state, you know, we're coming out of COVID where, you know, it's explicable where, you know, you've got elderly, infirmed people who are together, where there are employees that are coming into the facility. The outcome was predictable.
Right.
And we were making, you know, when I say we as a society were making it up, not them. We as a society were making up rules along the way. So I think that's an area that we will all be watching across the country and worried about the delivery of to an aging population. To your point about the evolution, the other thing that's happened over the decades is just the delivery of clinical care to more of an outpatient basis. You know, think about it. You'd have your appendix out, you'd be in the hospital for a week.
Right.
Get your appendix out, you're in the hospital if overnight, you know, with all of the different increases in knowledge and where we're going to go with this over time. It's not ending right now. You know, you want the best, and it doesn't necessarily require that intensive an amount of capital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's no question that the pandemic certainly at least has accelerated the evolution in the industry in a lot of different ways, which leads me again to another question. And in some of my conversations with healthcare executives, mostly on the technology side, particularly last year and obviously in 2020, there was a major question about valuation. And that is that it was unreliable, that no one really, it was very hard to do deals because you really couldn't tell what your target was worth, right. And what you were worth, frankly, if you had acquisition currency. Has that abated now? Are valuations stabilized? Can you tell exactly what you're buying or what you're selling?
What immediately happened on the health system side that you could see was, you know, what are our expenses going to be relative to a decrease in volume? And so there was kind of a rush to make certain that there was sufficient liquidity. I don't think healthcare is different than any other enterprise where cash is king. I mean, liquidity is important.
Right.
There were pandemic oriented programs to shore that up. And there are other programs that are there. But I agree. Answering your question, yes, I think there is a stabilization of valuation now. Because you can tease out of an income statement where particular revenues come from. People are feeling more comfortable with, you know, going back to, you know, electives with elective surgery shut down, you know, electives, like that's tough. Now you're back to now the pressure, and I'm sure Bob Garrett would tell you the same thing. The pressure is staffing and expenses and finding able people. It's not necessarily the facilities. It's the staffing.
Yes. Well, he and others have said the same thing, particularly on the nurse with nursing. Sure. That it's been a huge problem. Another variable in M&A, interest rates. It looks like we're going to get another increase very soon. Has it gone to the point where you're now seeing a pullback, or is there still some slack in the system there?
Well, the issues become now, to pivot to kind of the financing side.
Right.
You know, the lower interest rates have always provided an opportunity, subject to tax rules, for nonprofit hospitals to refund out. I mean, I'm not talking about the acquisition of a medical group by private equity, but really more in the space of looking at debt and refunding opportunities that might be out there across the board, not just in acute care, but in subacute care and skilled nursing and so forth. Interest rates still are arguably historically low.
Right.
You know, does it make economic sense? Do you cut back on something? If you're thinking about a particular project or proposal, is your physical plant aging so much that you need to actually get capital? Do you fund out of cash flow? But interest rates still are fairly low, and there are mechanisms to borrow using short-term floating rates, hedge them. Everybody is trying to rush to market, not just on the M&A side, but with respect to new project financings, or doing refunding simply because of the lift in rates and the predictable continuing lift.
Right. Well, that's the other question, though. Is it predictable? I mean, do we know? Do you think folks in this industry have a good handle on where the Fed is going with this and where interest rates are headed. Yes, you're right. The interest rates, we were at zero for a long time and now we're just above zero, and that's really low. But is there enough certainty in the market to say, okay, I know what we're getting into here?
I mean, my perspective, I don't want to say is somewhat amateurish because it's a little more advanced than that, but I'm not sitting on the desk, but I am hearing, and none of us believes that interest rates are going to fall within the foreseeable future.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, given all of that, then we mentioned the challenges, of staffing. Is that the biggest one facing the industry at this point, do you think?
I think there are, at least from the financial side, from the lawyering perspective, I think the issue is always going to be what are we going to look like in 5 or 10 years?
Okay.
So how you kick this call off, which is, are we going to be part of a larger system or systems elsewhere? I also want to point out that this is a state which delivers care to many, many, many people who can't afford it, speak different languages, where we have very high standards for the delivery of care, where we have a significant need being answered by some systems of diving more into an urban environment and a recognition that preventative care there is significant. We have an extraordinary hospital in Newark, University Hospital, that is a major trauma center that was birthed from the dissolution of University of Medicine and Dentistry, which has extraordinary people there day in and day out, which is where there has been conversation for some time about building a new building, building a facility that is hopefully hub and spoke to address the very challenging needs within the city behind me, within Newark. I think that would be that would make New Jersey great.
Okay.
You know, it is, we all are purchasers at the different levels, depending upon our acuity and depending upon our financial circumstances. Okay. And I think is the great challenge, to be responsive to the needs of the people of the state in a very nimble way.
Okay. Well, you've been generous with your time. Just one more thing before I let you go. You mentioned the elective surgery, the hospitals in the state were in this bizarre position during the pandemic where they were overwhelmed and yet they couldn't do the procedures that where they make the most money, where they're their most lucrative procedures. Are they back now? And what do you think is the outlook for the next, say, 12 months?
The hospital CEOs, again, would know where that is clinically, but from all financial reporting that we see, because I see it on the financial side.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because many of our health systems, Jeff, are public reporting companies under a municipal securities rulemaking board requirement. If they have public debt called EMMA, people can go out there and look at their management's discussion of their financial conditions, and they'll be reporting on volumes. They'll be reporting on payer mixes, and frankly, looking good.
Okay, good.
Most of the rating agency reporting is looking good. You know, hospitals will often report, be enormously effective by a bad flu season.
Sure.
You know, a good flu season is good for all of us. A good good flu season is, I say, bad for us. It's right. It's arguably good for them.
Sure.
But that's the economics of it.
Okay. Well, this has been a fascinating discussion. I hope you come back at some point and give us an update on where things are. That would be great.
Well, thank you for everything that NJ Biz does. You know that I've got that journalistic interest in my portfolio, and it's very important for us to be supportive of great institutions of journalism.
That's right. I assume you're talking about your membership of the board, a chairmanship of the board at one point of NJTV, guess it's called NJ.
We're NJPBS now. NJPBS, yes,
right.
Now.
So thank you for that. And thank you
for
your
service.
You all
have to stick together.
Right.
Yes, we do.
All right. Scott Kobler, partner of Mercator & English. Thank you very much for joining me. I really
appreciate
it.
Thank you kindly, Jeff.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Thank you.